storm has caused confusion and delay.
You have caused
confusion and delay.
I think you are facing prejudice.
Daisy is just the ultimate fun. Daisy is just the ultimate fun.
Your impatience has caused confusion and delay. This storm has caused confusion and delay. You are causing confusion and delay. You cause confusion and delay.
26 years old and you can't even drive? I can. Are you stupid, eh? Are you a stupid fool? Well, why can't you drive then? You can't even drive. A bit grey today.
Well, hello, everyone. And I'm here. I'm here. Welcome to another Deepest Lore. And just before we get going, I'll remind everyone, 25% off all courses at the Academic Agency. Promo code VAXGLIDE2. At all courses. A lot of people have been taking advantage of the mega bundle, which is basically all of my courses in one whole package. That's already discounted. So if you apply the VAXGLIDE2 discount to it, I mean, it's practically giving it away. So a lot of people taking advantage of, that. Got until Christmas or the New Year to use promo code VAXGLIDE2. All right, so I'm pretty excited for this stream. And basically, it has been prompted by Taylor Swift winning Time Person of the Year, which I have since discovered that the fandom of Taylor Swift, I don't know, what do they call them? Swifters, Swiftians, the Swift crew, what are the Swift cat fans called? The Swiftians. They are basically pretty fanatical, I would say. They're fanatical. And the hero worship or the heroine worship of Swift, certainly by Time magazine over the years, but also just in general among the great unwashed Zoomer class, let's just say, who are almost like a kind of surf class in 2023. So, you know, Swift is really pretty popular, and she is a cultural phenomenon that, as I have to admit, completely passed me by. I couldn't name a Taylor Swift song. Don't think I've ever heard one, to be honest. But she does appear to be pretty massive. She has a cult of personality around her that I was previously unaware of until her winning Time Person of the Year kind of put it on my map, if that makes any sense. So Swift, so I don't know much about Swift, but what I am seeing is that if Time Person of the Year was typically given to an entertainer or a cultural person, that is a singer or an actor or a director or a dancer or something like that, then it seems to me that probably Taylor Swift does, on balance, deserve to win it. If Time Person of the Year is given to a political figure, then clearly for 2023, it should be, you know, somebody else. And looking through the history of Time Person of the Year, I noticed that a singer has never won it before, which means Bob Dylan and the Beatles and Elvis and Frank Sinatra, like none of these people ever won Time Person of the Year. So in a way, I want to correct the record on this stream because I was looking through Time Person of the Year, the history of it, and I noticed that this is not the only time that the person who should have won it hasn't won it, or vice versa. So I thought it would be entertaining and interesting to go through the entire history. Strap in, by the way, because I've got a feeling this is going to take time. Could even be like a 5-hour stream when all is said and done. We'll keep on going until I get tired. Basically, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through every single year, and since it was established in 1927, right through to now, so almost 100 years, filling in who should be the rightful Time Person of the Year for each year, if it was done using kind of objective criteria, because in most years it's pretty clear who should have won it, I think. But what I've done is I've split it in two to make it political on one hand and cultural on the other, which will be a way of redressing the... So that will mean that your Taylor Swift fans can still be happy because she'll still win the 2023 cultural one. But it also means I can redress the historical record and fill in all of those artists who should have won it in previous years. Okay. Now, for this exercise, I have, and this is going to be pretty cozy, nice kind of Christmas time stream, I guess. The ad stream with Pharaoh is going to be next Tuesday on the 18th. Pharaoh got his, it was meant to be today, but Pharaoh got his dates mixed up and was actually double booked. So we're now going to do it next Tuesday. So it's going to be before Unpopular Opinions next week. Anyway, what I have done here, right, is I'm going to use a mixture of different things, right? The chief thing I'm going to use is my own amazing knowledge of everything, okay? However, that is not exhaustive and unlimited, right? I got a pretty good general knowledge, but it's not that good where I could be like, oh, yeah, definite. So I've got some help. So I've pulled up. I have many, many tabs open, friends, okay? The first tab I've got open is Time Person of the Year, every single year, so I can check to see who it was, okay? Then I've got, you know, on Wikipedia, it has those pages where it lists the big events that happened in that year. So in 1928, for example, I can see that, you know, the British bacteriologist Frederick Griffin reports the results of the Griffiths experiment in January that happened. So I can just kind of see at a glance some of the big things that happened that year, right? The next thing, I'm going to use that to jog my, you know, to see if there's anything I'm overlooking, right? That my gut instinct, well, this year this person was around, this year, right? So I also want to see what actually happened within the year. Third thing I've got open is a list of the best-selling singles per year. Now, that is limited because that only starts in 1935, so we're not going to have many artists. So we've got the best-selling singles. I've got the Grammy Award winners. That only starts in 1959. I've got a list of the best-selling albums per year. That only starts in 1956, by the way. I've got a list of Academy Award winners, directors, actors, actresses per year. They start in 1927. So we've got a full data set for the actors and actresses and directors. Okay. But like I said, I'm also going to use my own knowledge of things, because sometimes pretty significant artists won't be the best-selling or necessarily have won the Grammy Award, or they weren't given an Oscar. Famously, Stanley Kubrick never won an Oscar. And looking through the 60s awards, I don't think Bob Dylan ever won a Grammy. I mean, Bob Dylan did not win a Grammy ever, as far as I can tell. He didn't win Song of the Year Grammy. Is there an Artist of the Year? Let me just double check to see if there's an Artist of the Year. Grammy Legend Award. I don't know. I mean, the Grammy, in my opinion, the music awards tend to be worse than the Oscars in terms of, there is no Artist of the Year. It's a bit strange, isn't it? Okay. All right. I'll have to use proxies then. But as far as I can see, Bob Dylan has never won a Grammy. Like, he's won the Legend Award or whatever, but I don't think he ever won for Song of the Year or whatever. Okay, and so basically I'm going to Album of the Year. Maybe I'll go with Album of the Year. Okay, this is better. The Album of the Year is better because the awards actually give the nominees for that year as well. And that gives you a kind of good proxy of who was about, right? But still, even looking down the album list, Bob Dylan was never won. He never won a Grammy. Isn't that incredible? No, Bob Dylan never won a Grammy. It was given to people like Barbara Streisand. Given to people like literally Barbara Streisand. So there we go. There we go. Anyway, so let us make a start. So I'm going to write in every single year, starting in 1927. The actual winner of the Time Person of the Year in 1927 was Charles Lindbergh. Lindbergh was he completed the first solo transatlantic flight in May of 1927. Now, one of the difficulties of these early awards is we're starting in 1927, right? Starting in 1927. And how can I put this? There are great people who were around before 1927, okay? And because of that, how much do we then try to retroactively give somebody credit who may have done something great in previous years? Okay. Another consideration, which I asked people on Twitter, is should it be that if you've won it once, you can't win it again? Should we limit the amount of awards we can give to a single individual to 3? Or should we make it unlimited? That is, if they were genuinely the person of the year every single year for the whole decade, do they get to be that person every single year? And the unanimous, like over half of the people on Twitter who voted on the poll said it should be unlimited, right? So we're going to not limit. We're going to uncap the amount of times somebody can win. So if we genuinely think that one person dominated an entire decade, they can win it in multiple years, okay? That's something that... and that, I think, makes it objective because there's nothing actually stopping one person being the guy, right, or the girl for that year, every single year. Now, having a look at what was going on in 1927, lots of things happened in 1927. Who was around? Who were the world leaders at that time? Should we just give it to Mussolini because he was around? or does Mussolini have had to have done something in that year to win? So these are the sorts of questions we're going to be asking. Or should we just give it to Charles Lindbergh, who, flew that plane, the first solo non-stop transatlantic aeroplane flight from New York to Paris in a single-engined aircraft called the Spirit of St. Louis. And then another question is, how much do I use dictatorial powers as the person running the stream versus democracy, right? I.e. press 1 if you think Charles Lindbergh should win the award, press 2 if you think it should be someone else. Okay, or you can just write keep or ditch. Keep or ditch. Should Charles Lindbergh win the award? And I'm now, while people are looking, I am looking to see who else was about. I think I already know who's going to win the cultural award. and that is going to be Fritz Lang, because Metropolis was released in 1927, and it is one of the all-time great films. Fritz Lang is a very important director, so he wins. A lot of people saying stick with Charles Lindbergh. A lot of people are saying, so Time, according to the chat, got it right in 1927. I'm just having a look now. I can't really see many other movers and shakers in that year specifically. Calvin Coolidge decided not to run for president again. Mount Rushmore was funded in that year, apparently. Yeah, I think there's a decent case for keeping Lindbergh as the... keeping Lindbergh, I would say. So let us stick then with Charles Lindbergh. What I'll say is, to denote the fact that they actually won it, I will bold them, okay? So for 1927, we're saying that Time got it right. So now let's move on to 1928. The actual winner in 1928, and I know it says political, right? I know it says political, but we will, for the purposes of this, if they're, let's say, a supreme achievement in business or in science or something like that, they'll go on the political end, and then on the cultural ones, we'll keep it to song and dance men, actors, directors, artists, people like that. So we'll keep artists on the right, anyone sciencey or businessy on the left. Okay, I think that's fair. Otherwise, we'd have to add a third column for scientists and businessmen, and I just think it'll get too much. So we'll keep Lindbergh. The winner in 1928 was William Chrysler. It says in 1928, Chrysler oversaw a merger of his company Chrysler with Dodge before beginning work on the Chrysler building. Okay, so he erected a skyscraper and he merged his company to form like a super company, which is, you know, quite big, I suppose. But let's see what else happened in 1928. Having a look down here, the Ford River Rouge complex at Dearborn, Michigan, an automobile plant, is completed. So Henry Ford built the world's largest integrated factory in 1928. And it would be nice to get Henry Ford on there somewhere, right? So he is a contender, especially if Chrysler is there. Charles Lindbergh was given the Medal of Honor. The Muslim Brotherhood is founded by an Islamic scholar and school teacher called Hassan al-Banna. Who else? What else happened? The Jinan incident, a conflict between the Imperial Japanese Army allied with Northern Chinese warlords, occurred with a Chinese army in the south. What else happened in 1928? I think I already know who's going to win the cultural award for that year. Joseph Stalin started his first five-year plan. Stalin was around, but is starting the first five-year plan significant enough as a kind of political achievement? Starting the five-year plan, by the way, literally halved the wage rate in the USSR. Herbert Hoover won the US presidential election. So yet again, I'm going to ask the chat, stick or twist? Stick is Henry, stick is Chrysler wins, okay? Twist is it should be someone else. I'm thinking it's between Henry Ford and Herbert Hoover, to be honest. You know, if it was going to be anyone else. I know who the cultural person is going to be for 1928, and that is Walt Disney. Reason being, in 1928, Walt Disney released Steamboat Willie, which is the first sound animated film ever with talking. And of course, that starred Mickey Mouse. And I think launching Mickey Mouse into global superstardom is probably Time Person of the Year worthy. So people are twisting a lot here. They don't want Walter Chrysler winning. Okay, so it's between Henry Ford and Herbert Hoover. Just write in Hoover or Ford, and whoever gets more names is going to win for 1928. Yes, Ford by a landslide. Okay, it's going to be Henry Ford. And look at that. That's got to be one of the strongest years of all time. If it's going to be Henry Ford, Walt Disney. Based. I'm loving it. Peak America right there, friends. Peak America. Ford and Disney. Back when America. Make America as great as that again, I say. So 1929, the actual Time Person of the Year was Owen D. Young. It says here, Young chaired a committee which authored 1929's Young Plan, a program for the settlement of German reparations after World War One. So the winner of the 1929 Time Person of the Year was Young of Young Plan fame. Pretty historic, I think everybody would agree. But let's see what else was going on in 1929. This would be awesome. Al Capone, right, instituted St. Valentine's Day Massacre on February the 14th, 1929, taking out all his rivals in Chicago. So Al Capone, I would say, I would put Al Capone in as a cultural icon, but should Al Capone... Al Capone could genuinely win the cultural one. I'm looking else what happened. Mother Teresa arrives in Calcutta from Ireland to begin her work in India. That happened in January. So Mother Teresa was around in 1929. Bloody hell. Comic strip Popeye first appeared. What else? There was a war. There was rebellion in China. The warlord rebellion. Persia signed the Litvinov Protocol. Ramsay MacDonald forms the UK's second Labour government ever. Ramsay MacDonald's a pretty major historical figure. He formed a government that year. What else? Pope Pius the 11th emerges from the Apostolic Palace to a huge procession, which is witnessed by 250,000 persons, thus ending nearly 60 years of self-imposed status by the papacy as prisoner in the Vatican. So basically the Pope put in a public appearance. He is a contender, I would say. Pope is always a significant character, right? What else happened? Wall Street crash happened. Obviously, that's no one person's fault in particular. So, I mean, there are contenders. I would say the Pope is a contender. Ramsay MacDonald is a contender. Mother Teresa is a contender. And Al Capone is a contender. So let us say it's Young of the Young Plan. Is the chat going to say stick or twist? Stick or twist? So, a lot of people saying twist. Young is not very popular, it seems. I'm just checking to see who won Best Director that year. And what movies and actors were around. No, nothing much that I think is that worthy. Okay, the chat has spoken. It is not going to be Young of the Young Plan, Owen D. Young. I think that Pope Pius XI has got a strong claim. You know, appearing in St. Peter's Square for the first time in 60 years, I think that would be a major deal. Like, imagine that happening now. It would just be so major. Nobody's seen the Pope in 60 years, and he appears in public. It's got to be him. So I'm going to say that the winner is Pope Pius XI, and that the cultural icon should be Al Capone. So we're kind of... was Pope Pius Italian? It's the Italian job. The Italians have stolen the show. They've stolen the show. Italian domination in 1929. So let us move on then to the 1930s. And things are going to start getting spicy. Things are going to start getting very spicy in the 1930s, friends. I can't wait. I can't wait. So the actual winner of the 1930 Time Person of the Year was Mahatma Gandhi for his very famous salt marsh, or the salt satyagraha, which is when he led thousands of people to protest against the historic salt taxes. The history of salt tax in India is fascinating. Something that started under the Mughals, but the British Empire was imposing significant salt tax on the Indians. And Gandhi led this march where it started off with just 20 of them. And as it progressed, I think they walked like hundreds of miles. This is what Gandhi's famous for, right? This salt marsh march. Even though this is quite famous, populist delusion fans, I will note that the salt march actually failed. That is, the British did not drop the salt tax. And considering this happened in 1930, and the Indian independence didn't happen until 1947, you could argue that the salt march was a failure. Also interesting and amusing, after Indian independence, within 5 years, I think it was, after Gandhi had declared independence, they brought the salt tax back. So in Gandhi's India, there was still a salt tax. So, salt march, not salt marsh. You know, if you want salt marsh, you want that salt marsh lamb that Wales is famous for. Some of the best lamb you'll ever taste is from Wales, friends, and you want the salt marsh lamb. Right. The first question is, I mean, I'll just go through what else happened in 1930 before we have the vote. I would think that it's a very famous thing to happen in history, is the Salt March. So Gandhi leading that march is pretty big, right? The Hays Code was instituted in the United States, right? That is the motion picture code prohibiting lewdness that was in effect from 1934 to 1968. So Will H. Hays, who is the person who brought that code into existence, is a very based hero who might, you know, is a contender, I suppose. What else happened in 1930? Amy Johnson lands in Darwin, Australia, becoming the first woman to fly solo from England to Australia. So, I mean, Charles Lindbergh won So Amy Johnson is also a woman, right? Herbert Hoover signs the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act into law, implementing protectionist trade policies in the United States. So that happened. The first FIFA World Cup started in 1930. So the very first World Cup was held. And by the way, friends, the rules are sportsmen are cultural, right? I don't ask me why. Scientists and businessmen are political. Sportsmen are cultural in the way that we're going to do this. So the first World Cup started, and Lucien Laurent scored the very first goal at the very first World Cup for France against Mexico. So pretty cool. Pretty cool achievement, I guess. So he might be a contender for the cultural side. What else happened? A military hunter took over Peru in 1930. Haile Selassie was crowned emperor of Ethiopia. I mean, he's a pretty important historical figure, you know. And Bernard Schmidt invented the Schmidt camera. That also happened. So the first question is then, do we stick or do we twist on Gandhi? To be honest, I think Gandhi is pretty strong as a candidate in 1930. I think Gandhi deserves to be it. People are twisting. I feel that people are twisting through like historical resentment and racism. I feel that Gandhi should actually be the person of the year. Yeah, people are sticking. Right, people are sticking. So I agree with time. That Mahatma Gandhi was indeed the Time Person of the Year that year. He was correctly identified. So we'll stick him in. And on the cultural side, let's see which actors were around that year. Who was selling records that year? Not really seeing that many obvious. When did Dracula come out? I feel like somebody like that should win. You know, Bela Lugosi. When was he Dracula? That was 1931. So when was Frankenstein out then? Frankenstein, that was 1931. Right. I feel like they are really quite significant movies, those. They're not going to be like award-winning, but they're very important movies. They were both 1931. Very strong contenders for next year, but not quite in 1930. Greta Garbo was around, who was widely regarded as a sex icon. Charlie Chaplin was still around in 1930, and he, what did he do that year? He didn't have a film out that year, though, I don't think. So I'm just trying to think of, like, characters who might actually modern times, 36, City Lights, 31. All Quiet on the Western Front, yeah, I'm having a look at that, but, like, is that really... Time Person of the Year worthy. Don't really fancy any of them, to be honest. Who else did I say? Who was that guy who scored? Who was that dude who scored the first goal at the first World Cup? I think it might actually have to be him. Unless I see someone else who's, because it has to, you've got to remember that this has to be like something really significant. Okay, I tell you what, it should be Will H. Hayes, the person who introduced the Hayes code, because literally that had an impact on the next 20, 30 years of movie output in America. And arguably led to a Hollywood second golden age in the 1950s. You know, a lot of great movies were made after the point that the Hays Code was brought in. So, yeah, I think Hays. All right, let's move on. 1931 was Pierre Laval. Laval was first appointed Prime Minister of France in 1931. He was popular in the American press at the time for opposing the Hoover moratorium, a temporary freeze on World War I debt payments that was disliked in both France and the United States. Now, I happen to know from my own knowledge that Laval was later a Vichy collaborationist, which they wouldn't have known in 1931. So I certainly, with that hindsight, I don't think time would give him that award, you know, now, for example. But I feel like there was a lot of other things going on in 1931. So let's have a look who else was around. In February of that year, Joseph Stalin, the Soviet leader, gave a speech calling for rapid industrialization, arguing that only strong industrial countries win wars while weak nations are beaten. Stalin stated, "We are 50 or 100 years behind the advanced countries. We must make good this distance in 10 years. Either we do it or they will crush us." The first five-year plan in the Soviet Union is intensified for the industrialization and collectivization of agriculture. Now, that strikes me as pretty significant because basically, Stalin was right, and Stalin did actually manage to make good on his promise, and he did actually manage to defeat his enemies and not get crushed. So I reckon Stalin is a contender for 31. What else happened? Lots of stuff happening in India that's not of no interest, I don't think. The automobile manufacturer Porsche is founded by Ferdinand Porsche in Stuttgart. What else? The construction of the Empire State Building was completed. Atatürk was re-elected in Italy. In Turkey. Now, Atatürk obviously came to power in 1921, but he's a very, very major historical figure. So we've got a chance. There's a chance of sneaking in Atatürk here in 31, just as a kind of recognition of his greatness in history. What else? The Herbert Hoover instituted the Hoover Moratorium, which we've talked about. Haile Selassie signed the first constitution of Ethiopia. He's very significant in these the Labour government of Ramsay MacDonald resigned and was replaced by a national government of people drawn from all parties, also under Ramsay MacDonald. United Kingdom abandoned the gold standard in September. General election, victory for the national government, defeated Labour. What about this? 1931, the Chinese Soviet Republic is proclaimed by Mao Zedong. This is the first appearance of Mao. Now, he's going to have many other opportunities to win, But Mao, I would say, is a strong contender for 1931. In fact, I think it's between Mao and Stalin, to be honest. But let's see who else. The original Cathedral of Christ the Savior in Moscow is dynamited by order of Joseph Stalin. Fucking despicable act, it has to be said. Prime Minister of Japan resigned late on that year. Okay, so the first question is, do we stick or do we... And on the cultural front, I think that the... It has to basically be somebody to do with Universal horror movies, right? It has to be either James Whale, Todd Browning, Bela Lugosi, or Boris Karloff. We'll cross that bridge when it comes. So the first question first. Should Laval be the Time Person of the Year? He was who actually won it. Stick or twist? Let's see what the chat says. I'm leaning twist myself. Yeah, everybody's saying twist. I don't like Laval. I think Laval is weak. Twist. All right. I say it's either Stalin or Mao. It's got to be either Stalin or Mao. And I'm leaning towards Mao, because declaring the Soviet Republic of China is a pretty significant act, I would say. You know, he'd been leading uprisings up until this point. But it could also be Stalin. People are abstaining. I reckon on balance, I think it's Joseph Stalin. So it should be Stalin in 31. Because the act that he did in that year and that speech he gave is of tremendous historical importance. And, you know, the fact that he then, I mean, obviously we're using a bit of hindsight, but, you know, that's basically world history changing. Now, on the cultural front, I reckon we've got four contenders. Boris Karloff, who played Frankenstein's monster. Bela Lugosi, who played Dracula and basically defines our exact image of who Dracula is. And I think that both of those movies have had incredible influence over our ideas of like horror and Halloween and things like that. Then we've got James Whale, the director of Frankenstein, or Todd Browning, the director of Dracula. I'm leaning towards it being Bela Lugosi, to be honest, because I think that he really is a cultural icon, and not just Lugosi, but Lugosi's version of Dracula is very, very culturally significant, I would say. I feel like it should be Bela Lugosi. Just so iconic. So we're going to say Bela Lugosi is the Time Man of the Year for the culture side. Eastern European domination in 1931. So let's move on. We'll move on to 1932, and the 1932 Time Man of the Year was FDR. Franklin D. Roosevelt. I'm going to say that is pretty insurmountable. I'm not even going to hold a vote. FDR becoming president, it's just insurmountable. Franklin D. Roosevelt, it's not even worth asking, because him winning the US election is insurmountable. It's basically insurmountable. There's no D in Roosevelt. Roosevelt. Insurmountable. No way he's going to be beaten. No way he's going to be beaten. Roosevelt. So that just leaves the cultural side, really. I'll have a look at what else was going on in 1932. And I mean, there's no actual argument. There's no point in arguing for anyone else other than FDR in 32. Okay. It would like be arguing that Trump shouldn't have 2016 or something like that. Okay. But there's a number of other things that happened that year. Adolf Hitler obtained German citizenship by naturalization. Look at this. Charles Lindbergh Jr., the infant son of Anne Morrow Lindbergh, and Charles Lindbergh, do you remember the 1927 winner, the air pilot, is kidnapped from the family home near Hopewell, New Jersey. Why did somebody kidnap Charles Lindbergh's son? My God, did you know about this? Look at this. Look at poor Charles Lindbergh Jr. Kidnapped. The son of the world famous aviator. Tragedy. I don't know why that happened. Seems random. So, I mean, I guess Charles Lindbergh Jr. would have the first father-son duo winning simply by dint of being kidnapped. He's a contender, I suppose. George Eastman, the founder of Kodak, committed suicide. Okay. Haile Selassie banned slavery in Abyssinia. What a shit lib. why is Selassie so significant? President Hindenburg asks Franz von Papen to form a new government. I mean, Hindenburg is a contender, as is von Papen, I would say. But they're not going to be FDR, I'm afraid. They're not going to be FDR. Goofy made his first ever appearance in a Disney film called Mickey's Review. So I guess Goofy is a possibility if we're going to include fictional characters. The Nazis became the largest party in the Reichstag. There was a farmers' revolt in the Midwestern United States that year. Hermann Göring was elected the Speaker of the German Reichstag. Mahatma Gandhi started a hunger strike in Pune prison. Gay. The Emu War, a nuisance wildlife management military operation, began in Australia. I shouldn't laugh, but what on earth? Australia declared war on emus, friends. A war on emus. Look. what on earth? Okay. Begun the emu war has. I'm still not really seeing. I mean, Charles Lindbergh Jr. can't win just for being kidnapped. Still not really seeing an obvious filmy person. Charles Laughton was around. He played Henry VIII in the very famous portrayal of Henry VIII that year. Don't fancy any of them. It was a pity that Frankenstein and Dracula were released in the same year, really. because it would have been nice to spread out some of those awards. Katharine Hepburn appeared in Morning Glory. Katharine Hepburn, significant actress, I guess. It's not really time worth time. See, it has to be like better than just, oh, they did, you know, they were in a good film or they won an Oscar or something. It needs to be like really significant. Don't really see any obvious. I tell you who else we've missed. Salazar. Salazar becomes the first fascist prime minister of Portugal. Salazar's a contender, actually. Salazar. People are saying Aldous Huxley. Yeah, okay, Huxley. All right, yes. Yes. Aldous Huxley, Brave New World. Yeah, that's a very good shout, friends. Huxley. Huxley for writing Brave New World. Yeah, I take that. I take that. That is a very, very good shout. A very good shout. I like that. I like that. I think Salazar... FDR is just too important, I'm afraid. So let's carry on. 1933. And I'm not even going to entertain any other answer than... I mean, the actual time person of the year for 1933 was Hugh S. Johnson. In 1933, Johnson was appointed director of the National Recovery Administration. U.S. President FDR gave him the task of bringing industry, labor, and government together to create codes of fair practices and set prices. Don't think so. Don't think so. There's only actually one winner of this. It's Hitler. Hitler is the obvious winner of Time Person of the Year 1933. There's just no other contender, I'm afraid. It's Hitler. Just no other person even in contention. On the cultural side, King Kong was released in 1933, and it was directed by Marion C. Cooper. I would say the release of King Kong is pretty culturally important. I'm just out seeing what else was going on that year. It's going to be hard to top releasing King Kong, I would say, just in terms of cultural importance. I mean, Frank Capra is around a lot. He released... he's just making a lot of films around this time. Clark Gable was in It Happened One Night. Yeah. I feel like directing King Kong is probably enough. So it's going to be... Unless there's any better suggestions from chat. No. No, Hitler is not going to win for his art history, I'm afraid. And we can't make... We can't make King Kong himself, but the director of King Kong, Marion C. Cooper, I think. Marion C. Cooper seems like a strong winner. Okay. So 1934, the actual Time Person of the Year was Franklin D. Roosevelt again for signing the New Deal. Right? Now, I'm sorry, but I feel like somebody else is more deserving. I feel like there's a more significant historical event that happened in 1934 than simply signing the new deal. I'm afraid it's going to have to be yet again. There's just no, I mean, it's difficult to argue again. I mean, it has to be Hitler again, I'm afraid. It has to be Hitler. We'll see what else happened in 1934, other than the signing of the New Deal and the Mustache Man actually coming to power. What else happened? Italy beat Czechoslovakia to win the World Cup. It staged in Italy under Mussolini. Mustache Man and Big Chin Man met for the first time. Hitler gave a speech to the Reichstag justifying his purge. There was the July Putsch, where they assassinated the, or they attempted to assassinate Dollfuss in a failed coup attempt. Adolf Hitler becomes Führer of Germany. And von Hindenburg died. The Wehrmacht swears a personal oath of loyalty to Adolf Hitler himself. I mean, he's the obvious winner of the 1934 Time Person of the Year. Evelyn Waugh published A Handful of Dust. The Long March of the People's Liberation Army of China began under Mao. The Abyssinia crisis happened, where the Italians and the Ethiopians exchanged gunfire. But I would say that pretty much nothing comes close to Mustache Man becoming Führer. In terms of the cultural output, what else happened? Frank Capra is still directing Oscar-winning movies. It Happened One Night came out that year. I mean, Frank Capra is a pretty major director around this time, so we could just give it to him, because It Happened One Night came out that year. Evelyn Waugh was around, and when was Triumph of the Will released? Triumph of the Will. Now, Triumph of the Will didn't come out until 1935. So Leni Riefenstahl, I would say, is a contender for next year's cultural award. But for 34, it's looking like it's going to have to be Capra, unless I can see. I mean, Walt Disney's already won it in 28. I gave it to him, and he's bound to win it again when Snow White comes out. So, I'm thinking for Capra, unless anybody has any other suggestions. Shirley Temple, what does she do in 1934? Persia became Iran in 1934. That was under Reza Shah. I think Capra is difficult to overlook for that year. I mean, he's a pretty important director anyway, and if he's going to win it for anything, it should be for It Happened One Night, which is arguably his greatest film. So I'm going to say Frank Capra. What a year. Hitler and Capra. So 1935 then, the actual winner of the Time Person of the Year was Haile Selassie. Haile Selassie, the Ethiopian emperor. When Italian forces invaded Ethiopia and started the Second Italo-Abyssinian War. Now, friends, call me old-fashioned, but I feel like Selassie shouldn't be the winner. I feel like it should be feel like it may have to be Mussolini for this year for starting. I feel like it should be Mussolini. I'm not really seeing, like, why should it be Selassie rather than Mussolini? Obviously Mussolini. The Parker brothers began selling the board game Monopoly in 1935. Hitler reinstated the Luftwaffe in violation of the Treaty of Versailles. The first canned beer is sold in Richmond, Virginia, in the United States by Gottfried Kruger Brewing Company. So, I mean, releasing the first can of beer seems pretty culturally important, I would say. The Harlem riot of 1935, a race riot broke out in Harlem. I mean, this is pretty significant. Reza Shah of Iran asks the international community formally to adopt the name Iran to refer to the country in place of the name Persia. Reza Shah is one of the heroes of my dad, by the way, which I've seldom understood, because Reza Shah basically declared war on the historic tribe that my dad is from, the Bakhtiari. He basically like banned them from their kind of centuries old nomadic pilgrimage thing that they do, and you know, said, you know, you have to become factory workers and so on. But anyway, Reza Shah, I would say that's a pretty significant move, changing the name of the entire country from Persia to Iran in a kind of national, it was actually a nationalist act. Reza Shah was also friends with Mustache Man, by the way, which is one of the reasons why in 1936 Hitler signed this decree saying that the Iranians were the true Aryan people and automatically had like rights to become German citizens, which is fucking bizarre when you come to the, like, if you think of that now, that seems really bizarre. But so that's, you know, that is a significant act from Reza Shah. What else happened? Sheffield Wednesday won the FA Cup. Lawrence of Arabia was involved in a motorcycle accident and died. Lots of things happened. Hitler put in the Nuremberg Laws in 1935, which are really hugely significant historically. FDR completed the Hoover Dam. All right, so I mean, I think the first port of call is Haile Selassie, stick or twist. I feel like it's a twist without doubt, but let me just kind of confirm it. So the next question is, I mean, we can't really have a hat trick for Hitler. Otherwise, we're just going to be giving it to Hitler every single year. I feel like it has to be between Mussolini and Reza Shah. Starting the Abyssinian War on Mussolini's part, changing the name of Persia to Iran on Reza Shah's part. Who should it be? Reza Shah or Mussolini? Yeah, I think that if we don't give it to Mussolini, he's not going to win again. This is his last chance to win, I would say. So it's going to have to be Mussolini. And then for cultural icon, now we did say that Leni Riefenstahl, she released Triumph of the Will that year, which is, you know, a superb cultural achievement. But there are other significant people who are around. Bette Davis won best actress that year. Who else is around? Clark Gable is really on the scene at this time. I feel like he's going to have another year where he might win, Clark Gable. John Ford won for The Informer. Bing Crosby released Silent Night in 1935, which seems like quite a significant... I mean, Silent Night by Bing Crosby is still played at Christmas time. And the Parker Brothers for releasing Monopoly. So cast your votes. Oh, and Kruger for the beer. Right, so vote. Triumph of the Will, the beer, or Bing Crosby, I would say. Bing Crosby, the beer, or Riefenstahl. Or Monopoly. I suppose Monopoly is quite important as well. Nah, okay. Everybody's saying the beer is the most important thing. And I have to say that, you know, it's kind of... I mean... It's kind of... Now, here's the trouble. Gottfried Kruger was dead by this point. So who actually did it? Who was the chairman or the CEO of the Gottfried Kruger Brewing Company in 1935? Can't be a deceased person, you see. Gottfried Kruger was dead. Ah, there's a problem here. We can't give it to a company. So it can't be the beer because there's no person. Can't be Gottfried Kruger because he was dead. So you're right, you have to cast again. Can't be the beer. So Riefenstahl, Monopoly, can't be posthumous. It has to be Riefenstahl or the Parker Brothers. But T. Lawrence cannot win it for dying, I'm afraid. Parker Brothers or Riefenstahl? Or Bing Crosby, yeah. I think the Parker Brothers are winning. All right, we'll give it to the Parker Brothers. Now, the thing is that it's not just the release of Monopoly that is significant there. It is literally establishing board games as a thing that people bought. Right, and as a big board game bro, that's a really big thing. Like, the idea of playing a board game for the family was established by the Parker Brothers. So it's a huge thing. It is a huge achievement. Riefenstahl robbed, some might argue, but I do think that board games, the concept of Monopoly, it's just a very, very big cultural achievement. And I feel like that has had a longer shelf life than Triumph of the Will. It's had a longer shelf life than Triumph of the Will, right? So let's carry on. So the actual Time Person of the Year in 1936 was American slag Wallace Simpson, who famously married King Edward VIII, leading to him abdicating from the throne in order to marry her. So the actual Time Person of the Year was Wallace Simpson. Okay. I feel like this is probably going to be a twist, but let's see. King George V became the king following the abdication. Germany reoccupied the Rhineland. That happened. Max Schmeling knocked out Joe Louis to become heavyweight boxing champion of the world. Prime Minister of Sweden resigned. Summer Olympics was held in Germany, and Jesse Owens won the 100 meter dash, famously leading to the moment where Hitler had to award Jesse Owens his gold medal. Now, Jesse Owens is a very huge Boomer Truth icon. And he's still talked about today. So I think Jesse Owens is a pretty big contender for the 36 Cultural Award, I'm afraid. You know, I'm trying to be objective here, not biased. I think Jesse Owens may have that in the bag, I'm afraid. Yeah, and then we got the abdication. So, all right, so first of all, stick or twist when it comes to Wallace Simpson. I'm pretty sure that in 36, Franco won the Spanish Civil War, didn't he? No, he started the Spanish Civil War. Franco launched the Spanish Civil War in 1936. So it has to be Franco, doesn't it? It's basically Franco. There's no other person who could possibly win it, in my opinion, in 36, unless we give it to him when he actually, you know, completes the victory. It's Franco. Unless I'm missing something, it has to be Franco. Unless, I mean, am I missing something? It's him, it's Franco. Press. Yeah, there's no way it can be anyone else. It has to be Franco. It's Franco. Franco won it in 36. Now for the cultural icon, are we going to give it to Jesse Owen, or is there someone else more deserving than Jesse Owen, do we think? Because whatever you say about it, it was very culturally significant. I mean, Frank Capra won Best Director again that year. Charlie Chaplin directed Modern Times in 1936, which is pretty significant. If Charlie Chaplin's ever going to win it, this is a big chance for Chaplin, because Modern Times is one of his all-time masterpieces. And unfortunately, Charlie Chaplin is also a massive Boomer Truth icon, by the way. Pretty much it has to, I think it's between Jesse Owens and Charlie Chaplin. Jesse Owens or Charlie Chaplin. Vote now. I've decided it has to be one of those two. Nobody else is that important doing stuff at this time, in my opinion. Chaplin or Owens? A lot of Chaplins. Okay. There's quite a few votes for Jesse Owen, but I think it's Charlie Chaplin. Charlie Chaplin really feels like the sort of person who should be winning Time Person of the Year as well. So, okay. Interestingly, a lot of based people are getting the political awards, and a lot of kind of shitlib icon, American icons are winning down the right. Isn't that fascinating? So let's carry on then. 1937. The actual winner was jointly given to Chiang Kai-shek and his wife, Sun Mei-ling. Chiang was the premier of the Republic of China at the outbreak of the Second Sino-Japanese War in 1937. Soon and was wife of Chiang Kai-shek from 1927 until his death in 1975. She addressed as Madam Chiang Kai-shek by the magazine, she was recognized together with her husband as the man and wife of the year. Now, friends, if it's going to go to anyone, surely it should go to the Japanese emperor. If we're going to be saying that the Sino-Japanese War is the defining moment of 1937, I feel like it should go to a Japanese. And that Hirohito, Emperor Hirohito, you know, should be the emperor, right? But what else happened in 1937? Let's have a little look. So let's have a look. Garcia became the president of Nicaragua. FDR had his second inauguration. The Moscow trial started. So basically, various communists were purged by Stalin, accused of participating in a plot led by Leon Trotsky to overthrow Stalin. So starting the purges is pretty significant, I would say. So Stalin back in the running, I would say. What else? Tintin by Herge concludes serialization in the Belgian weekly supplement, and soon afterwards is published as a book in black and white. I like the idea of giving Herge, or RG, I like the idea of recognizing Tintin. I like Tintin a lot. He's a contender for 37. Huge contender, I would say, on the cultural side. Pope Pius was critical of communism, and he published Divini Redemptoris. Pope Pius the 11th was based, I'm telling you. Pius the 11th was based. Mark my words. Spanish Civil War is carrying on. Hindenburg disaster happened. George the 6th is crowned. George the 6th becomes the king. Neville Chamberlain becomes prime minister following the retirement of Stanley Baldwin. Picasso completed Guernica. Hugely important painting. Picasso, strong, isn't it? Strong. I mean, I'm not in favor of giving it to the Chinese. This, like, you know, the Japanese are massively winning this Sino-Japanese war. So why have Time given it to the Chinese side? The Dandy comic started in 1937. I like the Dandy. oh my God, Snow White was released by Disney. The world's first feature animated film. And Disney, oh my God. The competition is too big, friends. Oh my God. It's got to be Disney. There's just no way. Especially because Snow White has become AAA's favorite movie. She won't stop watching it. She has access to all of the other Disney movies, but she always wants, like, she's gone Snow White mad. And I bought her a little, for her birthday recently, I bought her a Snow White dress. And so she's running around in her, she absolutely loves it. She absolutely loves it. Oh, man. It has to be Disney. There's just no, it's feel, I mean, Picasso will have other chances, I'm sure. Picasso will have other chances. I mean, Guernica is a very, very famous painting, though. But on balance, I feel like Snow White is more important. I mean, any shop you go to, they're still selling Disney Princess stuff everywhere. And unfortunately, it's bigger than Tintin, I'm afraid, as much as I love Tintin. Has to be Walt Disney again. There's just no, it's not even a question. But on the political side, I reckon it should be Hirohito. Who else could win it if not Hirohito? Has to be Hirohito. Any other suggestions? I think it's Hirohito. Hard to go against that. For me, it's Hirohito. Okay, so 1938. The actual winner in 1938, friends, was Adolf Hitler. It says, as Chancellor of Germany, Hitler oversaw the unification of Germany with Austria and the Sudetenland in 1938. After the Anschluss and Munich agreement, respectively, instead of a conventional portrait, the cover was an illustration by Rudolf von Ripper entitled From Unholy Organist, A Hymn of Hate. So Hitler won it in 38. Is there anyone who can even come close to matching the historical importance of what he achieved in that year? Now, hold on a second. Hold on a second, friends. Wait. Wait. Snow White was completed in 37, but released in 38. I know what we're going to do. That has made me happy. Yes. Yes. That is, all is right with the world. Because it felt weird putting, but I think that's right. I think that's right. Hold on, Tolkien. Hold on a minute. No, Tolkien's not winning for Hobbit. He's going to win for Lord of the Rings. When did Lord of the Rings come out? Lord of the Rings. Hold on. Tolkien. I mean, Tolkien's definitely winning it, but when did Lord of the Rings come out? Let me just double check. The Lord of the Rings. Yeah, 1954. So, yeah, we don't need to give it to him for Hobbit. No, the Lord of the Rings is more significant than Hobbit. Lord of the Rings. Picasso is just a hugely important artist that needs to be recognized, I think. And Hobbit came out in 1936 anyway, so... Do you think that The Hobbit is more important than Charlie Chaplin's Modern Times? We haven't missed Ford. Ford won it. We gave it to Ford in 1928. We gave it to Ford in 28, so he is there. All right, let's have a vote. Chaplin or Tolkien? For 36, Chaplin or Tolkien? Chaplin's winning. People are sticking with Chaplin. Chaplin's winning. Listen, Tolkien will get it for 54. Don't worry. He'll win in that year. In terms of the other, I mean, as far as I can see, in terms of what else happened in 1938, there's just no other person who could come close to winning, I'm afraid. So it has to be a hat trick. That's the third, the first three-time winner of the AA's correct time person of the year is Adolf Hitler. He has now won three times. Walt Disney becomes a two-time winner because he won in 28 as well. So, yeah, three for the Mustache Man, two for Walt Disney. So moving on to 39, and in 1939, the actual time person of the year was Joseph Stalin, right? Now, it says here, the reason that they gave it to, the reason that they gave it to Stalin, I'll just read here. In 1939, Stalin was the General Secretary of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union and de facto dictator of the Soviet Union. He oversaw the signing of a non-aggression pact with Nazi Germany before invading East Poland. Now, we gave it to Stalin back in 31. Do we stick or do we twist on Stalin? Because I feel like they probably got that right. It feels like it should be Stalin, doesn't it, for 39, right? I mean, looking at what else happened in that year. I mean, it's going to be either him or Hitler, right? So I don't think we can give it a Hitler, like, again, right? Now, in May of 1939, right, this is a pretty significant. Bill Finger and Bob Kane created Batman. That seems pretty big to me. Batman is huge, continues to be a massive cultural icon. I think the creation of Batman is a very, very strong cultural one for that year. I think on balance, people are agreed that it should be Stalin. So Stalin becomes the third two-time winner after Hitler and Disney. But for 39... I mean, Bob Kane for creating Batman. Bob Kane. We could give it to as a nerd revenge, because everybody loves to say it was really Bill Finger. We could give it to Bill Finger. But, I mean, did anybody else release anything of that of huge importance in 1939? Gone with the Wind came out, right? Gone with the Wind was a huge movie. Clark Gable has his famous "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn" moment. Vivian Lee won Best Actress. So, I mean, basically, it's between the director of Gone with the Wind was Victor Fleming, but I think it's between basically Clark Gable for Gone with the Wind or Bob Kane. So vote now. Clark Gable or Bob Kane for creating Batman. I feel like it has to be Bob Kane, to be honest. But frankly, my dear, I don't give a good damn. Okay. People are saying Wizard of Oz came out. Did it? Now, Wizard of Oz is pretty important as well, because that's the first color movie. Judy Garland is the... Hold on a minute. Huh? What? The same guy directed Gone with the Wind and The Wizard of Oz. Victor Fleming directed both of those movies. I never knew that. Holy shit. Okay, right. That's basically decided it, because if you directed Gone with the Wind and The Wizard of Oz in a single year, there's just nowhere to put... I mean, I didn't know that. That's blown my mind. I never knew that I had the same director. They're such different movies as well. Okay, that's decided it. Sorry, Bob Kane, but that is just too big an achievement, I would say. Too big an achievement. How is that possible? And how is it possible that me, a massive movie buff, never knew that? I never see, like, Victor Fleming talked about or anything. Like, he's never talked up as a great director or anything. Hell of an achievement. Wow. Blow my mind, that has. Okay. Okay, so let's carry on. And we've reached the 1940s. I told you this was going to be a long stream. We may have to do it in... I'm going to try to do it all in one part as a kind of supreme achievement of autism. We can do it, friends. The actual time man of the year in 1940 was... The actual winner of Time Person of the Year in 1940 was Winston Churchill. It was Churchill. Ah. Now, here's a real test of my objectivity. Do we think that Churchill becoming Prime Minister, replacing Neville Chamberlain for the unity government, and committing Britain to World War II in a basically suicidal and genocidal manner? Right. He's not part. I've got problems with Churchill, and I blame him as one of the worst people in British history, as people know from my other streams. But in the overall scheme of worldwide cultural and historical importance and political importance, can anybody beat Winston Churchill for 1940? Can anybody beat Churchill? That's the question. Now, what else happened in 1940? I mean, World War II was basically started. This was the period of the so-called phony war. Quisling established a collaborationist regime in Norway, which I suppose is quite important. Basically the entire year is all just World War II. It's Churchill, let's face it, it's Churchill. Well, let's do the vote, just in case. Stick or twist? Stick or twist? Stick or twist? It's basically impossible for Churchill not to win this. Yeah. It's just impossible for it not to be Churchill. And for those of you who've joined the stream late, bold means they actually won it as well. They actually won the actual time person of the year, so we could tell who won what. And then later on, I'll stick them all on a thread in Twitter for people who missed the stream to have a look at. For cultural, this is more difficult. Is there a chance? Did Riefenstahl release anything else? Because we didn't give it for Triumph of the Will or Olympia. Does she have any other kind of movies under her belt? No, Olympia was the last one. That was 38. Chaplin brought out The Great Dictator in 1940. James Stewart was in The Philadelphia Story. When did It's a Wonderful... that was 46. So James Stewart's got another year where he could get it. Now, John Ford released The Grapes of Wrath and won Best Oscar in that year. He also won it in 41. Now, John Ford's a very, very famous director. In terms of songs that were out, not really seeing any significant songs. I mean, basically everything stopped for the war. So who do we give it to? What significant novels written in 1940? Anyone? When did that song by Vera Lynn come out? Let's have a look. Vera Lynn. We'll meet again. That didn't come out until 1943. It's a 1939 song, released in 1939, Vera Lynn was. But it was it number one in 1940 is the question. Look how boomer truth that is. Winston Churchill and Vera Lynn. Come on. We're recreating BBC Two here. Hemingway. Let's have a look. Hemingway. For Whom the Bell Tolls. Written in 1940. See, I feel like even though We'll Meet Again came out in 1939, I'm pretty sure it became iconic in 1940 during the war. All right. It's between Hemingway and Vera Lynn. So vote now, Hemingway or Vera Lynn. Even though he was a shitlib, by the way, I quite like Hemingway's kind of terse prose. So I admire him as a prose stylist, even though I disagree with his politics. Hemingway's winning by a mile. So we're going to give it to Hemingway. And I mean, it's still quite boomer truth, but not as ridiculous as Churchill v. Berlin would have been. So at least I'm happy. Hemingway spelt like that. Okay. So 1941, the actual winner was, for the third time in the real life time, Person of the Year, Franklin D. Roosevelt. Roosevelt was president of the United States in 1941 during the attack on Pearl Harbor and declaration of war against Japan and the resulting entry of the United States into World War II. The editors had already chosen Dumbo as their mammal of the year before the Pearl Harbor attack, but quickly changed it to Roosevelt. So Dumbo was actually going to win Time Person of the Year, which gives Disney, by the way, another opportunity to win. Because let me tell you, friends, Pinocchio is a fucking stone cold classic. It's ridiculous how good Pinocchio is as a movie, right? That was released in 1940, and then he followed it up with Dumbo. I'm telling you what, Walt Disney's got another chance. Right here in 41. Okay. The question is, for 1941, given that we've just given it to Churchill for 40, is there any other person who could even come close to FDR for 41? Because it's not just the entry into the war. They signed a land lease that year. FDR did a shitload of things. sworn in for his third term. Holy shit, look who comes back. Aviator Charles Lindbergh testifies before the US Congress and recommends that the United States negotiate a neutrality pact with Adolf Hitler. We could give it to Charles Lindbergh. It's weird how Lindbergh keeps on coming back. I tell you what, the 1927 winner of the correct Time Person of the Year, Charles Lindbergh, keeps on coming back in unexpected ways. do we give it to Lindbergh? No, I don't think so. Still pretty based of him. I mean, there's basically no, it has to be FDR, doesn't it? It's just a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. Bismarck was sunk. I talked about that the other day. Disney animators strike begins due to lack of recognition by Walt Disney, who famously hated the unions, of course. Face Disney. I think that it has to be FDR again, doesn't it? There's just no other choice. I'm not even going to put it up for the vote. Well, we did for Churchill, so let's ask again. Stick or twist? Stick or twist? It has to be. Now, for the cultural award, there's a strong case for Disney, right, who completed Pinocchio, which is a fucking masterpiece, and released Dumbo, which, again, is a really significant movie. But there's a really significant film that was released that year by Orson Welles, Citizen Kane. And Orson Welles was a stone-cold genius. And if he's ever going to win it, I feel like he'd win it for Citizen Kane. So, I think, unless I'm missing someone, it should probably be between Walt Disney and Orson Welles. So, Disney's already won it twice, and he's going to have other chances. I feel like this is Orson Welles' chance. So vote now, Orson Welles or Walt Disney. Vote now. Yeah, it has to be Welles. It has to be Welles. Orson Welles. There's just no other possible person who should have won it. Disney, in my opinion, he'd have like Man of the Decade or something, but he's already had it twice. Yeah, I agree. It should be Welles, I agree. Citizen Kane is just a genius film as well. Now, 1942, the actual winner of the Time Person of the Year was Joseph Stalin. By 1942, Stalin was General Secretary of the Communist Party in the Soviet Union, overseeing the Battle of Stalingrad. But Disney has already won it twice, Phillips, right? We've already given it to him for Steamboat Willie back in 1928, and we gave it to him for Snow White. You know, I would also love to have given it to him for Pinocchio and Dumbo as well, but we can't just give it to Disney every single year. Is there anyone who could possibly come close to Stalin in 42? Has to be Stalin. That makes it a hat trick for Stalin. Stalin becomes the second man in AA correct Time Person of the Year history to win it twice, because he won it in 31. The third person to win it three times. He won it in 39, and now he's won it a third time in 1942. Cultural icon, bit more. We need to think about this. Casablanca came out in 1942. That was directed by Michael Curtiz. Casablanca is horribly Boomer Truthy, in my opinion. But James Cagney was around as a major actor. Let me just have a look at music. Bette Davis was still in movies. Wabash Cannonball sold 10 million records by Roy Acuff. Bing Crosby released White Christmas. It sold 50 million records. Fucking hell. Okay. It's between Humphrey Bogart for his role in Casablanca or Bing Crosby for releasing White Christmas. It's got to be Crosby, right? It's got to be Bing Crosby. Yeah, vote now. Bogart or Crosby? On balance, I think Crosby's got more votes. It has to be Bing. It's just no, you know, White Christmas is still played every single year. And it sold 50 million records. I mean, that's just insane. You know, it's a lot of records. All right, so 1943, actual Time Man of the Year was George C. Marshall. As United States Army Chief of Staff in 1943, General Marshall was instrumental in organizing the U.S. actions in World War II. Now, do we think that George C. Marshall should be the 1943 Time Man of the Year? Stick or twist for George C. Marshall in 43? And I will just have a look through what else happened that year. I mean, it's all World War II all the time at this point. It's all World War II stuff. When did Mao take over China? When did that actually happen? That was 49, so still a fair way off. I am not giving it to Schindler. Shut up. I mean, anybody got any better suggestions than Marshall? Patton was around. Mountbatten was around. I mean, there were some great generals around this time. Eisenhower. But basically, we're going to give it to a general. Rommel. Rommel was around. But specifically for 1943, who are we giving it to? So, stick or twist? A lot of votes for Zhukov. Okay, we have twisted on Marshall, so but we need to give it to someone else. So if it's not going to be Marshall, should it be Zhukov? Should it be Rommel? Or should it be someone else? Montgomery. We need to give it to someone. I mean, when did Alan Turing crack the code? I feel like Alan Turing should be recognized at some point, or is that very kind of gay, GAE? Don't know. I feel like giving it to Turing at some point might be. When's Alan Turing? Let me just have a look. When exactly did that happen in the war? Because it would have, you know, that was really important. Okay. I feel like Turing is very kind of current ideology though. What else? Bengal famine happened in 43. I feel like Zhukov has got the balance of votes, you know. We're going to give it to Zhukov, I think. What a bunch of patriots you are. Okay, we're going to give it to Zhukov for the exploits in World War II. And for the cultural side... Paper Doll by the Mills Brothers sold 11 million records. Ingrid Bergman was in a movie version of For Whom the Bell Tolls, and she starred in Gaslight. I mean, Ingrid Bergman, if she's ever going to win it, this is a good year for her, if you consider Ingrid Bergman a cultural icon. Humphrey Bogart became runner-up for Casablanca in the actual Oscars that year. And Michael Kuritz won Best Director for Casablanca that year. What novels came out in ever? Novels published in 1943. Books published in 1943. Jean-Paul Sartre published Being and Nothingness. And Ayn Rand published The Fountainhead. And C.S. Lewis published The Abolition of Man. I mean, there's some strong writers around. Raymond Chandler released a book as well. I feel like it's between Ingrid Bergman, Sartre, Ayn Rand, and C.S. Lewis. When did Lewis publish Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Let me have a look at that a minute. When did Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe come out? Let's have a look at his bibliography a second. Narnia books came out in 1950. So C.S. Lewis will have another chance, but The Abolition of Man is one of his... okay. Rand, Lewis... Bergman, that's Ingrid Bergman or Sartre. It's going to be Sartre, Lewis. We did give it to the Pope. We gave it to Pope Pius the 11th in 1929. So, a lot of Lewis votes, some Bergman folks. Julius Evola, I don't think, is going to be making Time Person of the Year. A lot of people are arguing for Sartre. I mean, existentialism was pretty important after the war. I mean, I once joked that the entirety of being a nothingness could be being a nothingness could be on one sheet of A4. You know, terribly written book, but a lot of people arguing for Ingrid Bergman as well, right? I feel like C.S. Lewis is going to be, we're going to keep a hold of him from 1950, I feel. I'm going to say Lewis is eliminated. I'm going to say Lewis is eliminated. It's going to be between Ingrid Bergman and Sartre. So vote again. Bergman, Ingrid Bergman, or Sartre. We gave it to Huxley. We've given it to Huxley in 32. There's Huxley there. But for 43, it's Ingrid Bergman or Sartre. Okay, I feel like Ingrid Bergman is winning this vote. So we're going to give it to Ingrid Bergman. Okay. 1944, and the actual winner, I mean, on physiognomy grounds alone, Bergman over Sartre is justifiable, I would say. Whatever you make of their politics, I feel like physiognomy alone, right? I mean, Ingrid Bergman was a very important cultural icon and a huge star. Don't forget, she was in Casablanca, she was in Gaslight, she was in bloody... The song of what else was she in? For Whom the Bell Tolls. You know, she was in tons of huge movies around this time. You know, The Bells of St. Mary, Joan of Arc, Notorious, Spellbound. I mean, obviously that was later, but I'm just saying if she's ever going to win it, she's going to win it in 43. So, yeah, Bergman's huge. I mean, if Taylor Swift is winning this, Ingrid Bergman's going to win it. Damn it. Okay, so 44, and the winner of the actual Time Person of the Year is Dwight D. Eisenhower. General Eisenhower was the supreme Allied commander in Europe during 1944's Operation Overlord. One of the most devastating campaigns in the entirety of military history. So, stick or twist with Eisenhower. I feel like it's going to be very difficult to argue against that if we're giving it to Zhukov the year before. That's what I think. I think it's going to be very hard to justify not giving it to Eisenhower for leading that. Yeah, we're sticking with Eisenhower, and I think that's fair enough, to be honest. One of the great military campaigns in all of history, cannot not give it to him. Now, for the cultural side, what was going on in 1944? Billy Wilder's Double Indemnity came out. Bing Crosby won Best Oscar Actor for that year for being in Going My Way, apparently. Ingrid Bergman won Best Oscar for Gaslight. What else was going on? Books written in 1944. We've got The Road to Serfdom by F.A. Hayek, Agatha Christie's Towards Zero, Saul Bellow's Dangling Man, No Exit by Jean-Paul Sartre, Enid Blyton released Claudine at St. Clair's, and The Five Run Away Together. So Enid Blyton is on the scene. I want to give it to Enid Blyton. Can we give it to Enid Blyton, please? Give me any arguments. Marginalia by Lovecraft came out that year. Sartre is up again. Agatha Christie. I mean, these are the sorts of writers who are around. Let me have a look. Artworks from 1944 in art. And Henri Matisse had painting that year. I don't know. I feel like this is a weak year for culture. Did Animal Farm come out that year? Let's have a look. Is that right? I feel like Animal Farm was later than that. Let me have a look. Orwell. When did Animal Farm come out? Animal Farm. No, Animal Farm was published in 85. 45, not 44. It's the year that it's published. That's the what we're going on, not the year that it was written. Gentile was assassinated in Florence. No Exit by Sartre. Play came out. Are we just going to give it to Jean-Paul Sartre? I feel very dirty and horrible giving it to him. Any other suggestions, people? Let's have a look. Animal Farm came out in 1945. F.A. Hayek would be a political figure, not a cultural figure, in my opinion. Let me just have a look at Enid Blyton a second, because I feel like Enid Blyton may have other years where she is more deserving. Let me just have a look at when her major books came out. Hold on a minute. When did The Folk and the Faraway Tree come out? I mean, this was her era. The Magic Faraway Tree came out in 43. Five Runaway Together. If she's going to win it, she's going to have to win it in the 40s, I think, because this was her era, basically. 43, The Magic Faraway Tree coming out. And then The Folk of the Faraway Tree was 46, and Up the Faraway Tree was 51. Okay, so Enid Blyton's in the mix in this era, I would say. It's just whether 44 is strong enough as a year for her. Really, 43 was a stronger year for her. 46 looks like a pretty strong year for her as well. All right, I think it's between Jean-Paul Sartre and Enid Blyton. Let us vote now. Sartre or Blyton, vote. Yeah, Blyton's winning. Blyton's won. It's already over. Enid Blyton. Give it to Enid Blyton. And that will keep Shitlibs very unhappy because they hate Enid Blyton. I did a stream on her once. Very racist. Based. Enid Blyton, just like Ingrid Bergman, has superior physiognomy to Jean-Paul Sartre, who I'm determined to keep out of this. we can't just give it to Bergman again. So yeah, I'm happy with it giving it to Ina Blyton. So 1945, the actual winner of Time Person of the Year was Harry S. Truman for becoming President of the United States. Now, the question is there anyone more deserving than Harry S. Truman for 1945? I would say an extremely significant person in 1945 was Clement Attlee, who became the Labour Prime Minister, defeated Churchill, set up the welfare state, set up the NHS, and basically transformed Britain's history forever. I think Clement Attlee is a huge one. Oppenheimer for the A-bomb is a huge one as well. Oppenheimer. But I think it's, honestly, I think it's between Clement Attlee and Oppenheimer, personally. But who else? What else happened that year? I mean, I'll just read what it says. Truman became president of the United States after the death of FDR, authorizing the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Right. So that is, so let us ask the question, do we stick or do we twist? And then we'll see if everybody wants to twist, we'll see who it is. I'm leaning towards Clement Attlee because he's a very important historical figure, but... I mean, Attlee could win it again in 47, of course, for setting up the NHS. So, all right. I think we're sticking. I think we're going to stick with Harry S. Truman, which I think is fair enough. The man who authorized the A-bomb being used, becoming president, you know, difficult to argue against, ending World War II effectively. The cultural figure for 45... Just having a look at the songs. No standout songs that year that I can see. In terms of books published, Animal Farm by Orwell came out. Bride's Head Revisited by Evelyn Waugh is a pretty significant novel. Bertrand Russell's History of Western Philosophy was released. Pretty significant book. Fucking Jean-Paul Sartre released The Age of Reason, so he's still in contention. I think it's between Orwell, Evelyn Waugh. What films were out that year? Just seeing if there's any like major artworks or anything like that that came out. We managed to get Picasso in, didn't we? Did we get a Picasso in? We got him in already. Yeah, I feel like it's between George Orwell and Evelyn Waugh for Bride's Head. Vote now, Orwell or Waugh. Orwell will have a second chance to win for 1984, of course. This is probably the only chance Evelyn Waugh will have to win. Although I would put him in for his cigar smoking technique alone, personally. But let's have a look. on the balance, this is almost tough. I may have to actually do a poll here because it's too close for me to tell. Voot, Orwell, or it's too close. So I'm going to start a poll. Vote in the chat now. Remember, it's Orwell for Animal Farm or Evelyn Waugh for Bride's Head Revisited. Not Orwell for like Lifetime Achievement or anything like that. It's for Animal Farm specifically. We may have to do this in several parts because we've been going for 2 hours and we're in the middle of 1945. 66 votes. All right. Orwell's won. It's George Orwell. So we're going to give it to George Orwell. Arguably, Evelyn Waugh was robbed there, but, you know, do what you do. I may have to break, eat something, and then come back, and we'll do like a part two later on. We'll call it like A and B or something, right? Okay, so 1946, we've got James F. Burns was the actual winner. Now, who the hell is James F. Burns? In 1946, Burns was the United States Secretary of State during the Iran crisis of 1946, taking an increasingly hardline position on opposition to Stalin. His speech, Restatement of Policy on Germany, set the tone of future US policy, repudiating the Morgenthau Plan, economic policies, and giving Germans hope for the future. So that is why James F. Burns won in 1946. I feel like this could be a year where we twist, but let us have a look to see what else was going on that year. Enver Hoxha declares the People's Republic of Albania, and with himself as the Prime Minister. Charles de Gaulle resigned as head of the French Provisional Government and President of France. The Iran crisis took place. What else happened that year? Juan Perón became president of Argentina. Ho Chi Minh became president of North Vietnam. Pretty important figures here, guys. Syria declared independence from France. The Manhattan Project. The physicist Louis Slotin accidentally triggers a fission reaction. What else? What else happened? Umberto II left Italy. Bulgaria became a People's Republic, and King Simeon II left. Joy of joys. Okay, so the FIFA 1946 World Cup was cancelled, and boo, female suffrage is enacted in Romania, Yugoslavia, Argentina, and the Canadian province of Quebec, boo. Eva Perón tours Spain, Italy, France on behalf of Argentina, a circuit called the Rainbow Tour. Now, even if we don't give Juan Perón the political award, I think Eva Perón is pretty strong on the cultural side. Uh, I think Eva Peron has got a good Ho Chi Minh becoming president of North Vietnam. I mean, is that too much hindsight though, right? Because he, we don't know what was going to happen. Okay, so let's and Enver Hoxha becoming prime minister of Albania. Do we really care about that? Okay, so the first question is, do we stick or twist with James F. Burns? Stick or twist? Stick or twist? Okay, I think we are twisting. But the question is, who wins it? I feel like Ho Chi Minh winning is too much hindsight, personally. It's like, from you've got to view it from like you don't know what else is going to happen. Although it's very difficult to put yourself in that mindset. Hoxha is a bit of a kind of tanky pinup on online among the far left, but I don't really think it's that significant, to be honest. I mean, we could give it to Clement Attlee just because we didn't give it to him last year, and he is in the process of completely transforming Britain forever, right? Clement Attlee. I think Clement Attlee is a contender for every single year that until 51, Attlee will be in contention. In terms of records, there aren't really any big ones. In terms of films that were around, Billy Wilder's releasing movies. Hitchcock is around. He released Spellbound in this year. 46, aren't we? David Lean directed Brief Encounter. It's a Wonderful Life by Frank Capra came out, and of course, James Stewart. James Stewart. If Jimmy Stewart's ever going to win it, it's going to be this year. I mean, we could Perron, I think, is in contention. All right. We're going to vote. We're going to vote. I think the political one is between Juan Perón and Clement Attlee. Vote now. Perón or Attlee? I think we're pretty much. It's kind of split, It's kind of split. I think on balance, though, Clement Attlee is winning that. So we'll look, Clement Attlee. And I'll just double check what books came out that year. I don't see any. Agatha Christie is just releasing stuff all the time, of course. I mean, an important political figure around this time is Nehru of India, of course. But I just don't think he's more important than Attlee in the overall scheme of things. And I think for the cultural one, it is between Jimmy Stewart and Eva Peron. So it's Eva Peron or Jimmy Stewart. Vote. Let's have a vote. I think Clement Attlee really has to win it in one of these years. And given what happens in 47 with India, I think there's only really going to be one winner in 47. Okay. All right, Jimmy Stewart's won that pretty handily. So James Stewart, for his iconic role in It's a Wonderful Life, wins for 1946. So 1947 then. And I will say, I mean, people remember the Perrons chiefly through the musical, don't they? Don't Cry for Me, Argentina, and all of that. Isn't that why people remember Eva Perón for that musical? Am I making that up? You know, kind of become a cultural icon in a way. But I think Jimmy Stewart is more important in the overall scheme of things. And he needs to be recognized somewhere, you know. He was a World War II hero and just a really all-American hero, really. So in 1947, the winner again was George C. Marshall, but this time for being the architect of the Marshall Plan, not for his role as an actual general in World War II. So coming up with the Marshall Plan. Now, I think that there is a much more important world event that happens this year. And I have in mind specifically the independence of India from the British Empire. Did that not happen in 1947? In which case, Mahatma Gandhi has to be seen as the most significant political person in the entire world. Surely, surely, surely. Is that not the case? Is that not the case? I think it has to be Gandhi. All right, so basically the vote is, do we stick with Marshall for the Marshall Plan, or do we twist and install Gandhi? Has to be Gandhi, surely. I mean, regardless of the actual causes, which we've talked about many times, I just don't see how it could be anyone else. When did the actual independence take place is the question. Jerusalem riots took place in 47 as well. But that happens in the following year, I want to say. Let's just have a look. Independence of India. Independence of India. Definitely happened in 47. It happened in 47. I suppose the question is, do you give Gandhi full, like, sole credit for it, or do you give it to someone else? It's got to be him, isn't it? He is the man when it comes to that. So yeah, we're giving it to Gandhi. He is another two-time winner now, because we gave it to him in 1930 as well. We've given it to Gandhi, and in terms of It's Gandhi. I'm sorry. I mean, I know it's Boomer Truth, but let's face it. If you establish a new nation independent from the empire, that is your name in the history books forever, I'm afraid. In terms of songs or movies or books that came out that year, Albert Camus' The Plague... Diary of a Young Girl by Anne Frank. Anne Frank is in contention. Arthur Miller's All My Sons, very significant play, came out that year. Tennessee Williams' A Streetcar Named Desire was in Broadway at this time, starring a certain Marlon Brando, which is pretty significant, right? Marlon Brando in Tennessee Williams. So Tennessee Williams, very hugely significant American playwright. He has to be in contention, I would say. Elia Kazan directed the Oscar winner that year, but much more significantly, David Lean, great English director, brought out Great Expectations. And I would say that David Lean, if he's ever going to win it, you just have a look at Lean's output a second. I mean, he's got another couple of chances to win. I mean, he's got Oliver Twist in 48. He's got Bridger on the River Kwai in 57, Lawrence of Arabia, Dr. Zhivago. But I feel like this year for Great Expectations is one of his best chances, right? Lean or Tennessee Williams, I'm going to say. Vote now. Tennessee Williams or David Lean is the vote for 47. I imagine Tennessee Williams, by the way, to have been exactly like Lindsey Graham, but that's just my kind of sordid imagination. Oh, it's too close. I'm gonna have to make the actual poll. Lean Williams. It's too close. Vote. It's too close for me to see. So you're going to have to... I think Lean is edging it, but let's just have a look. I think Williams is going to struggle to come back from that, to be honest, but let's just make sure people get their votes in. All right, it's Lean. It's Lean. Okay, so David Lean wins for 1947. So 1948, we have got Harry S. Truman wins again. Truman was elected in his own right as president of the United States, which is considered to be one of the greatest upsets in American electoral history. Truman wins the presidential election. So, what else happened in 1948? And do we think that is the most significant thing that happened? Because, Mahatma Gandhi, still around, begins his fast unto death in Delhi to stop communal violence occurring during the partition of India. Ernest Bevin was around in that year. I think this is around the time the NHS was set up, was 48. George Orwell completed 1984 in 1948. What else happened? Truman signed the Marshall Plan in 48. The first general election with universal suffrage is held in Italy. Boo! The English-built Land Rover is unveiled for the first time. The Israeli Declaration of Independence is made, with David Ben-Gurion becoming the first prime minister. And I think Ben-Gurion making Israel a state and becoming the first prime minister of that state is a very, very significant moment in history. So I think David Ben-Gurion is in contention for 48. Lean completed. Oliver Twist was banned for 3 years in the United States because of its alleged anti-Semitism in depicting master criminal Fagin as played by Alec Guinness. Shall we just give David Lee 48? Shall we just give David Lee 48 as well? We could go like David Ben-Gurion, David Lean. Ben-Gurion, Lean, yeah. All right, so I think it's going to be between Truman and Ben-Gurion. I can't really see any other. Laurence Olivier's Hamlet opened in the United States. Laurence Olivier, if he's ever going to win, maybe 48 would be his year. The Malayan Emergency happened. Whittaker Chambers was around. The House of Un-American Activities. Did McCarthy start his stuff in 48? McCarthy was really, this was the peak of McCarthy. Started the Hollywood blacklist in 47, but it was really, you know, all of the kind of Reds Under the Bed stuff was happening around this time. Whittaker Chambers and all of this sort of thing. I mean, McCarthy. McCarthy actually never served in the House of Un-American Activities. But I mean, he's around. So he's somebody we could give it to around this sort of time. 48 was probably peak Reds Under the Bed stuff. All right. So do we stick or do we twist with Truman for 48? Stick or twist? No, Mao has got 49 sewn up. Do not worry about that. Do not worry about that. Yeah, we're twisting. We're twisting on Truman. And the question is, do we give it to Joseph McCarthy? And I think this will be his only chance to win. Do we give it to Joseph McCarthy? Or do we give it to Ben-Gurion for the independence of Israel? I'm really, really finding it difficult to over. I mean, if we, on the logic we give it to Gandhi in 47, how don't we give it to Ben-Gurion? Let's have a look how people have voted. It's Ben-Gurion. Come on, let's just face it. You see, this is we can be objective, unlike other people. We can be objective. We can overlook all sorts of things and just give it to who deserves it in the year. And David Ben-Gurion is the correct Time Man of the Year in 1948, in my opinion, and in the opinion of this chat. So we're going to give it to David Ben-Gurion. And for the cultural figure, there's George Orwell, who finished 1984. Very significant book. There's Laurence Olivier, who brought out Hamlet. And there's David Lean again, basically. So vote on the cultural one. Orwell, Lean again, or do we give it to Laurence Olivier? I'm just checking the songs of 48. No major songs that year, as far as I can see. John Huston was bringing out films. Olivier's Hamlet. Olivier won Best Oscar for that portrayal of Hamlet. Ingrid Bergman was in Joan of Arc that year, but we've already given it to her, so... I think it's pretty much Orwell. I think it's Orwell. It's George Orwell again. Two-time winner. I think George Orwell, is it our first two-time winner on the cultural side? No, Disney. We gave it to Disney twice, didn't we? So Disney is currently the tied with Orwell. Let's continue. I'm kind of enjoying this quite a lot, but I'm going to need to eat at some point. So I might just stop and come back and we'll just do like the next episode later on tonight. But I'm going to have to like have a break at some point. How much of my Coke Zero is left? Orwell won in for Animal Farm, overriding whoever else was up for that year. That was the chat. The chat are just ribald populists, basically. So for 49, the Time Person of the Year was Winston Churchill. Why did they give it to Winston Churchill in 1949? He didn't even win again until 51. Here is the reason that they gave it to Churchill in 49, okay, according to Wikipedia, right? Proclaimed as the man of the half century, Churchill had led Britain and the Allies to victory in World War II. In 1949, Churchill was the leader of the opposition. I'm calling bullshit on that, I'm afraid. And I think the only possible winner is Mao. I mean, I'm not even going to put it up for the vote because it's Mao. Mao is the winner of 49. Come on. It's just fucking ridiculous. Mao. So that is the political figure sorted out. And I don't think there's anyone who's even in the running that can challenge that. Joseph Stalin was accused of anti-Semitism when he talked about rootless cosmopolitans undermining and subverting the Soviet Union. So that happened in 49. What else happened? Transjordan changed its name to Jordan in 49. I never understood why it was called Transjordan in the first place. The Federal Republic of Germany was established in 49. The first television Western called Hopalong Cassidy aired on NBC in 1949. Israel and Syria sign a truce after a 19-month war. Soviet Union tested its first A-bomb. The Third Man, starring Orson Welles, with a screenplay by Graham Greene, came out. We've already given it to Orson Welles, of course. Carol Reed was the director of The Third Man, if you're wondering. Yeah, I'm just having a look. In terms of songs, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer by Gene Autry sold 12.5 million records. We've got Joseph L. Mankiewicz, one of my favorite directors, won an Oscar for A Letter to Three Wives. Not his best film, though, in my opinion. His best film would be All About Eve, followed by Sleuth. What an amazing director. Imagine directing both All About Eve and Sleuth. You didn't do that. If there's ever a argument for Jewish high IQ, it would be Joseph L. Mankiewicz directed those two movies, because that is just a supreme achievement, in my opinion. What else? The Third Man isn't that important in the overall scheme of things. Books that came out in 49. According to this, 1984 came out in 1949. That's not true, though. It came out in 48. Man with a Golden Gun. Death of a Salesman by Arthur Miller. Arthur Miller seems quite important. Death of a Salesman's a very important work of American literature. Seems important to me. I think it's Arthur Miller, to be honest, unless I'm missing something. Arthur Miller is stronger than Carol Reed in that category. I think it has to be Arthur Miller. Any other contenders? It's Arthur Miller. I'm pretty sure the 1984 came out in 1948. Maybe in America it came out later. I'm pretty sure it came out in 1948. 1984 by George Orwell. Came out in 1948, famously. Oh. According to this, it was published in 49. Oh, well, I'll be. So who did Orwell beat then in 48? Who did Orwell beat for 48 then? David Lean. All right. We need a decision here, right? We need a decision. Here are your choices, okay? We can go with Lean Orwell, or we can go with Orwell Miller. Orwell's winning one of them by rights, but which? Okay, this is what we're going to do. Are we going to go Lean Orwell or Orwell Miller? I don't like the fact that the internal rules we've got have been a little bit subverted, but, you know, it's really a question, Lean versus Miller. And I'm going to let people vote here. That would make, by the way, David Lean our very first back-to-back winner, where we've given it to him for Great Expectations and then for Oliver Twist. That's pretty overpowered for David Lean, I would say, but... I don't think Miller, I think Lena's got this, friends. Don't think. Yeah, Lena's won. Back to back for David Lean. Look at that. Oh, shit. That's messed everything up. Ah, stupid Windows. Oh, stupid Windows. How do I go back? Undo. Oh, shit. How do I undo? Stupid Windows. Ah. That has messed everything up. Undo. Where the hell is undo? Oh, God. Where's undo on this fucking thing? Oh, no. Control Z, people are saying. Control Z. Thank you. Okay, so George Orwell comes in here, and David Lean is now a two-time... David Lean becomes the very first cultural back-to-back winner, although we did have a historical one for Hitler in 33 and 34. Hitler won it back-to-back back then as well. So David Lean, surprisingly, out of the bag, has managed to do this. Okay. Right. So, we have reached the end of the 40s, and I think that what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and have something to eat and pick up this in a little bit of time. We've been 3 hours now, so I'm gonna do the super chats, and we'll pick this up later. Right, so we're gonna do like the 50s, the 60s, because the 50s and the 60s are gonna take ages. Okay, let us stop this now and then come back to it in a bit. Okay. In terms of super chats, I don't think there have been any. There've been a couple. Ritonora says, unpopular opinion, the most honorable center should have been Time Person of the Year. No one can refuse this claim. Non-believers get bent. And Tom says, 1984, the famous manual for elites the world over. So there we go. I don't think there's been any in entropy. Excellent. So we will come back in, I don't know, call it an hour or 2 hours, something like that. I need to go and eat something. When we return, we'll do the 50s and the 60s and possibly even the 70s. And then that will probably take 3 hours, and then we'll do the next lot. Or I will do them all in a row if it needs to. But I need a little break. All right, we'll be back later on for the next part of AA's correct Time Person of the Year. Now get out, everybody. Remember, promo code VaxGlide2 gives you 25% off all courses.
What goes on in this town is none of your business.
As long as I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!